At least 10 of the hijackers involved in Tuesday's attacks lived and attended flight school in Florida, where school officials and instructors now face the nation's scrutiny. Students come to the United States from all over the world to learn how to fly. English is the language of global aviation, and the U.S. has the best training technology, the most experienced instructors, and the most sought-after pilot's license in the world. But many now wonder whether the U.S. should be so lax in the way it admits foreign students to these schools. NPR's John McChesney reports.
Waleed Al-Sharii was aboard the American Airlines plane that burst through the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Like many of the hijackers, Sharii was from Saudi Arabia. He's believed to be the son of a Saudi diplomat who was at the Saudi embassy in Washington during the 1990s. Sharii went to aeronautical school in Florida during the 90s, which may mean that this conspiracy began as far back as 5 years ago.
Now, Waleed Al-Sharii graduated from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in 1997 with a Bachelor of Science degree in aeronautical science.
Lisa Ledowitz is the spokesman for Embry-Riddle University, the largest school in the United States devoted to aeronautics. The school offers full college coursework in addition to flight training. It has a total of 24,000 students on its various campuses, the largest of which are in Daytona Beach, Florida, and Prescott, Arizona. Again, Lisa Ledowitz.
Here on our Daytona Beach campus, our international student population is 12%.
Overall, Ledowitz says 2 to 3% of the students are from Middle Eastern countries. Ledowitz says the school was shocked and saddened to learn that an Embry-Riddle graduate was one of the terrorists. She adds, though, that the school doesn't watch over its students after they receive a visa from the State Department and the student passes through immigration in the United States. But flight schools do help foreign students obtain visas. Some of them are accredited by the INS. Once someone's been accepted by Embry-Riddle, for example, the university sends the prospective student a document, which the student then takes to his local American consulate to apply for admission to the United States. Having the university's sponsorship is key to gaining entry. Another key to a successful application is the likelihood that the student will return to his country after finishing school.
The American consulate also determines if there are any other reasons why they don't want the student to enter the country. Once the consulate approves, the student flies to the U.S.,
where the student's visa is presumably once again scrutinized by the Immigration and Naturalization Service, or INS.
Again, the bottom line is we follow the same procedure as every other college in the country.
Ledowitz says the school's responsibility ends when the INS grants the student entry to the United States. Embry-Riddle, by the way, has maintained relations with Saudi Arabia over the years. It had a contract to train pilots for the Saudi National Airline back in 1996, but Ledowitz says Sharii was not part of that program. The university also granted an honorary doctorate to a Saudi prince who was an assistant to the Saudi defense minister in 1994. Ledowitz says it was granted to improve the working relationship with the Saudi government. Some flight instructors in Florida say that Saudis receive little scrutiny from the State Department and schools because Saudi Arabia is a close ally of the United States. So, does Lisa Ledowitz think that Embry-Riddle will change its foreign student enrollment procedures in the future?
I would imagine there's going to be a national discussion about the whole INS admissions, international student admittance process. And of course, Embry-Riddle will be a part of that discussion.
Over at Huffman Aviation, where more than two-thirds of the students are foreigners, it becomes more apparent why changes in the process are needed. Between July and December of last year, Mohammed Atta and Marwan Al-Shahi attended flight school at Huffman in the Florida town of Venice. Atta and Shahi flew on both planes that hit the World Trade Center. Rudy Decker owns Huffman Aviation.
Atta paid $18,000 and a little bit total. And as they were going, they paid $1,000 every 2 weeks, roughly.
Was that in cash or check?
No, it was a check.
Decker remembers Atta as a man who kept to himself.
Atta, I never liked him. I didn't like his face. His face was a fanatic face.
But that didn't cause Decker to raise any questions about Atta, and Atta and Shahi did not come to Huffman in the usual way, with a visa supported by the school in advance of their arrival.
These people came with the excuse that they were not happy with another flight school, and they came through the front door. And it happens more. Sometimes flight schools go bankrupt and students come over and they already have everything then. We are not obligated to check their passports then due to the fact that they're in the country and I'm not customs.
But when foreign students change school, the INS is supposed to be notified and their visas should be changed to reflect the move. Did that happen in the case of Atta and Shahi? Decker says he assumes his employees did check the visas, but since he's given them to the FBI, he can't be sure. But he says in the future he will handle students from the Middle East in a very different way.
Next time I'm going to send the file to the local FBI just to be sure.
Atta and Shahi left Huffman in December of 2000 and went on to train on jet flight simulators. One place they went was Sim Center in Opa-locka, Florida, where they paid cash for 6 hours of time on a 727 simulator. Owner Henry George said the two men told him they didn't need training in takeoff and landing, the most difficult parts of flying, but rather they needed time only for in-flight maneuvers. George insisted to NPR that he didn't find this to be unusual. But Rudy Decker of Huffman Aviation wonders what the people at Sim Center could have been thinking after these men paid cash.
Now, the instructor said, yeah, he thought it was awkward, but he didn't do anything with it. If we have somebody walking in and he wants to fly, he wants to control it, no landing, no departure, and he is from the Middle East, and there's no flag coming up, I'm sorry, I am pissed off.
Of course, Decker's own flags didn't go up when these men showed up at his company either. There will undoubtedly be more finger-pointing as the investigation unravels all the connections of the hijackers to American flight schools. But the schools themselves are in a good position to point fingers upstream at the State Department and the INS. The Boston Globe reports that Mohammed Atta had been implicated in a 1986 bus bombing in Israel. And German police report that both Atta and Shahi were connected to Islamic extremists there, which should have kept them from ever making it into the United States in the first place. But in the wake of this disaster, it's highly likely that the way foreign students are enrolled in American flight schools will be changed. John McChesney, NPR News, Washington.